Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God. Tonight's praise and worship is presented by Prophet Ursula Wright. Visit www.uwright.com for her ministry contact and booking information. Again, that's www.uwright.com.
This is the hour of purpose define, or defining of purpose. I have been ministering to people in authority, and I realize that people are in place and not in purpose, and people who are in purpose can't find place. And our job is to join purpose to placement, because it's wonderful to prophesy somebody's purpose, isn't it?
Yes.
And then they say, now what? That was nice. Boy, I felt chilled. Hallelujah, God is good. And then like, now what? And some of you are in that defining moment. And I wrote a letter to some people this week. And I want to tell you something. The one thing God said is, you will never find your purpose beyond your commitment to be a good custodian over it. You know, purpose is manifest, is revealed in stages. Awareness. First, it starts with interest. And if I were going to be accurate, let's go down the list. First, we're curious. Why am I here? Who am I? Why'd you make me? See, I'm curious. Then we're interest. You're interested in finding out the answers to those questions. And then awareness. Awareness meaning that a casual interest has now turned into an emphatic statement on your life. And from awareness, there's drive. You're now driven. 90% of the people stay in the drive. They're driving from place to place and this to that and person to person. Just for what? To say, why am I here? When you're at drive, you're looking for place. Sometimes people enjoy cruising the highways of life, pretending to pursue purpose when they're really fleeing. Because the Bible said that we are called according to his purpose, and that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. You cannot be on this planet and in Jesus Christ more than 5 years and not know why you're here. You may not like why you're here, but you know why you're here. You may not like what he called you to become. You may not like the path or the journey. You may not like even like the cost. Say, but. You know. And when you stand before God, you will know. And he will tell you the day and the hour he said to you, this is what you were called to do. Now, you may not get it as a word. A lot of times people can look for it to be a word, or they're looking for this, you know, wild prophet to come in, slap you in the head and say, thus saith God, thou art. Some of us got that. But many times your purpose comes as an experience. When encounter and experience meet, you encounter something that you must do. And you realize that something inside of you you never knew existed before came up as a resource. And when it came up as a resource, you found that you could do not only the impossible, but the unknowable with ease. Purpose is what you do with ease that you don't have to work at being good at. If you have to work at it, it's not purpose. It's effort. 9 times out of 10, the people who can't find purpose are overlooking that they've been doing it all along without recognition or acknowledgement. That woman that can't help hosting people up the road and down the road, gotta cook, won't do anything else, will turn every conversation into it. Your purpose shows up in your conversation. You'll always end up turning everything that you are called to do into your communications. You're communicated. A truck driver will talk maps, roads, and highways. Hallelujah. A designer will talk stitching, fabric, and clothes, or materials and art pieces. A singer will talk song. Your language, your metaphors, your comparisons will all speak what you do. You can't do anything but be who you are, and everything about you comes out of purpose, and you are overlooking it because you're needing a title or recognition, but you've been doing it all your life. There are very few ministers out here who can say, man, I found out I'm doing everything I did since I was a kid, and it was easy. It was easy. A politician is always going to talk about relationships, getting along with folk, bringing people together. An activist is always going to talk about making life better for other people. That language is in every, is threaded throughout all of your communications. Is this helping anybody? It's threaded. Listen to yourself as well as others, because you will turn every situation into the character and the texture of your divine calling, your divine makeup. It will all turn that way. And another thing about purpose is that you always see things through purpose. Your approach, well, I think we should do it like this. Well, I think, and you can tell a person who's in purpose when they do that, because they'll get on your nerves. I know, we already know what you're going to say. You're going to always turn into that. That's purpose, communicating, knocking on the door, yelling out, saying, aha, this is me. Then you want to change them and make them do it another way, and they can't even see it. A mathematician is going to see numbers. They're going to make everything logical, consequential, sequential. They're going to make it all numeric. They can't help it. They're metaphors. They're for instances. They're examples. Pay attention to that language, because that language reveals purpose. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And we have used that as a blessed curse scripture. Out of the abundance of your heart, a good man out of the good treasure in his heart will bring out good things, wise things, old and new. Because the Christian, charismatic Christian, is such a poor listener, you can't hear people's worth and value. It's all important to you to have your say. So we're lousy listeners. We're poor communicators. Because we just listen to people's noise until they take a breath so we can jump in and do our thing and tell our part. So we don't hear, we have people running around telling you in every which way who they are, what they're called to do, where their passions are, what they can't help doing. I can't help it. There is an answer in the phrase, I can't help myself. Isn't there? When you say you always, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, and they say, I know, I can't help myself. That's purpose announcing itself, defining itself, manifesting itself. Anybody got me? See, that's what you're looking for. You're waiting for some great big host of angels to come down and say, oh, no, they're not doing that. They're like, are you kidding? We're trying to get you there. You're waiting for the biggest preacher in the world to come and slap you and roll you over the floor and say, thus say the Lord. And when you get it, all you get is a 30-second statement. Thou art. It's still, the rest of it is still on you. You get up off the floor, you're shaking, you're bobbing, you're weaving. You feel good, all of that, and you still don't know. And so now you do what we get in our office all the time. You call prophets and preachers around the country. Somebody said I was. What does it mean? So if it was all about a church service, it seemed to me it would be thorough. And announcements are rarely thorough. Counsel is thorough. Instruction is thorough. Announcements are not thorough. They're just announcements. They're PSAs. God just posts a bill on the wall and says, this is the Lord's announcement to you. Go to the street called Straight, is what he said to Peter. Purpose was waiting for people. Peter at the street called Straight. He didn't know what it was. Just go. Simon the Tanner there is waiting for you. Cornelius, just fast and pray. Somebody's coming. Announcements are not the same as counsel, as instruction, as guidance. But we have gotten the body of Christ hyped on the news. I got news from God today. Yeah. That's it. What do you do with your newspaper when you're done with it? And that's what people are doing with these prophecies. Right. Is that the truth? Uh-huh. Wrapping up food, stuffing boxes, packing it up with the things you're shipping somewhere else. So now you're shipping it out. Because all it was an announcement. There was no beginning. There was no end. There was just a statement. That's why we need every member in the body of Christ doing their share. You know? That's why pastors hate those kinds of meetings. Because they realize they're just announcements, just stickies on people's foreheads. But we have to help people want to search diligently. You will find me when you seek me. If you seek me with your whole heart. And we have to teach them how to seek. And so the first thing you have to recognize that looking for somebody to announce it is not going to guarantee purpose. Announcers don't guarantee purpose. Edifiers do. Developers do. Teachers do. Trainers do. Educators do. They guarantee purpose. And yet the church will not sit under that. They will not sit under development and nurturing because we've told them that they have it inherently. That's like saying to your kid, don't worry about high school. Don't even go to elementary school because you're just a human being. And by virtue of being born into the planet, you have all you need. We wouldn't do that. None of us would do that. As a matter of fact, if somebody said your child had a super IQ, the first thing you look for is a person with an IQ twice that to train them. Isn't that the truth? You want to put your children in the best schools because you believe that purpose, what the reason they're in the planet has value, has worth to the future. And you don't expect them to work that purpose while they're kids because you need it perfected, don't you?
Yes.
See, we have to change how people look at attaining purpose, at discovering purpose. I ask people all the time, so I just want to know what God wants me to do. You know what I say? Why? I have to ask why. Because I'm thinking, I'm not going to announce something to you that you aren't going to be do anything with or are unable to do anything with. I will not give a word to folk who don't give me the right answer for that. I need them to give me the right answer. Well, I've been searching for 15 years, so search on. That's not the answer. Well, you know, I just feel like my time is running out, probably. Well, I just think it's time for me to get serious with God, not at purpose. Probably at holiness, probably at knowledge. You know, your points of serious are not at purpose. Before you want to do something, we need you to become it. Become something. There are many training programs that you have to have pre-course and prerequisite before they let you touch the real deal. Not us. We like, come on into the middle. Come jump into the master's program. You preach three times, have four crowds of 5,000, you in. How many of you all know that when you are called to a specialized training, that it's not in the masses? How many of you know master's classes have no more than 15 folk, and 15 is too many?
That's right.
But we say a person is invalid if they don't have the masses. When they put you in mass lecture halls, what does that mean? General information, they don't care if you get it or not. It's on you. Nobody's going to touch you. They're not going to put their handprint on you. They're not going to dispense. They're not even going to test you to see if you got it. You get a whole list of multiple choice. Pick one. It goes through a computer. The computer says, all right, that sounds good. You pass. You get your paper stuck, sent back to you. You never had contact with anybody. You cannot fulfill purpose without direct contact and prolonged contact. Is that right? You got to have prolonged contact. Well, you know, I just think I got all I should get from here. Baby, if you think you got all you can get from something that you only been in a couple of years, you ain't got nothing. Because the first couple of years, you're trying to find yourself. You're going from why am I here to how'd I get here? To what am I doing here? To why should I stay here? See, somebody, somebody heard me. Now, when you get to why should I stay here, you're now ready for discovery. In other words, Proverbs says if you don't have a little wisdom, you can't get any wisdom. So you got to have a little to get a lot. God says you always have to have a little bit of what you're going after. That's your natural makeup to get what you're going after, which is your destiny. Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. When? Before the foundation. Circle before, because that means anything that you're trying to find here is not going to answer your questions. Before the foundation. before the foundation. For, now hear me. Before the foundation means before they put the brick in the ground for your house, an architect told you what's going to turn up. You are architected for your purpose. There's a schematic, an eternal schematic in the heavenly places that's locked in the genetics of Jesus Christ that guarantees your purpose. So if you don't get into your genetics in Jesus Christ, you have an Adamic purpose that may or may not get where it has to go. Now listen, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now we always look at holy and without blame as exclusively moral objectives. Holy means holy, whole and complete, lacking nothing. Whatever makes you a whole person, that is what God called. That's what he created. He created wholeness, which means he also has a plan for filling the gaps and handling the fragments. And he said, without blame. The word blame also includes error, fault, shortfall, drawback, mistake. God has a goal that you will be holy, because if you don't get the blame off, you can't get holy. See how that works? You need the blame gone for the holy to be. Now, I want to go on with this because this is the most powerful thing. It says, having predestinated us to adoption, to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So God knew that you weren't going to belong to him. Because if God isn't speaking on your life, to your life, you are not going to go anywhere. You have to recognize that the people who are in the bars and who are constantly going from, you know, keg party to keg party and booze to booze and women to women, and they're on a self-destruct path. And that is because nobody spoke to them and said who you are. So in their mind, they are who they're living who they're not. So you'll always live who you're not, and whoever you aren't will kill you. So you live life every day according to someone else's script. That's like being hired to be an actor in one play and showing up on the set of another doing a whole other part, wanting to be rewarded for it. Going to another job and wanting to get paid by another company outside of that for the work you do here. See, we have that kind of stupidity in the body of Christ. We have that kind of nonsense thinking. You know, we do. Praise God. Bless our little hearts. We try. We always want to be rewarded for what we meant, what we intended, what we were going after. We never, ever, ever understand that God gives you a harvest on what you produce. And if you produce confusion, your harvest is confusion. God is not interested in what you say. Your words determine your actions. So he'll listen to your words because he knows in 3 months, 4 months, or a year, your actions are going to do something else. But your purpose is always wrestling with your passions, because their one is meant to be a support of the other. But if you've developed passions for who you are not, they will always destroy your pursuit of your purpose. I'm passionate about hanging out. I'm passionate about this, and I'm passionate about that. Those are all objectives that are perverted. In other words, I like to be out. But God's statement is, do you want to be out doing something constructive or destructive? That passion is not wrong. It's the application that you have to explore. How are you applying your passions? Because that's why people are hell-bent on self-destruction. Because the same passion that makes you want to be out among the people in the party life is the same passion that makes you the greatest missionary in the world.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
Jesus. Ooh, glory. Your precious blood, Jesus. And I hail your name. For even your word magnifies above the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus.
The same passion that makes you love to socialize and to you know, exchange ideas with people are the same things that make you want to be a great pastor, a great shepherd over the flock. See, your passion is the engine of your purpose. I say again, your passion is the engine of your purpose. And so if you can rightly apply your passion, which is your natural self, to the things that God put you in Jesus Christ to achieve and perform, you've got not only power, you've got victory. That's life-changing. Now, the problem is most people have passion, etc., and they want to keep it to themselves. Because the thing that will unlock your passion for purpose is selflessness. Mm-hmm. If you're number one, you'll never care about 2, 3, 4, and 5. Does this help you guys?
Yes.
Your engines are off. You need to tune up your engines. Some of your cylinders are firing real bad because they're driving you where you ought not to go. And only blindness takes you where you don't want to go. See, blindness means that you are a victim to anything moving. Because when you can see, you can tell somebody, that's a bad turn, that's not my street. But when you can't see, they take you anywhere. Verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Out of the beloved, you are unaccepted. Well, that's clear. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us, that's purpose, see? Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he what?
Purpose.
In him. If you don't know God's purpose for existence, your purpose is lost, because your purpose is in God. And God planned it all for himself, even the destroyer to destroy. There's purpose for the destroyer. Hallelujah. People are trying to figure it out without trying to connect with he who purposed it. The church wants purpose in itself without Jesus Christ. Jesus' purpose is what God is going after. So as God works out his purpose in Jesus Christ, then everything in Christ gets purpose fulfilled. Ain't it sugar? You gotta love him. You gotta love him. He's a sugar. God's purpose, every purpose of God is in Jesus Christ. So it's however way you connect with Christ that you connect with the fullness of your purpose. So your passion for Christ guarantees your fulfillment of purpose. Because God will cancel your purpose before he will cancel Christ's. He will let you drop dead, say, sorry, couldn't work out. Wish it could work, but hey, I owe this one. Everything the Lord God does is strictly and exclusively about Jesus. And that's what he's saying. He put the fullness of creation in Jesus Christ. He reconciled everything that was lost and planted it in Jesus Christ. So the way the church has treated Jesus is exemplifying itself today. Their mistreatment of Jesus Christ has come up to them being mistreated and abused elsewhere. Because the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the church isn't having peace because our ways aren't pleasing the Lord, because we are competing with Jesus Christ. and we are rivaling our elder brother as you do in the flesh, and we're fighting the firstborn. See, all those things are what's happening in the church today. Isn't that something? So you have to recognize that unless you reconcile who Jesus Christ is to you in your life, purpose will always be a fleeting steam off your cup of coffee in the morning. Always going cold and always going opposite you. We taught people they had rights that were independent of Jesus Christ. That's not what this is saying. We taught people that they had an experience, a destiny, a purpose that is totally inconsistent with Jesus Christ. God loves Jesus more than us. Now, he equalizes it by putting us in Jesus so that in his body we get equal love. See, you don't love your arm more than your foot. You need both, see? Can't say, I can't stand that arm. Need that arm. But honey, somebody else's arm doesn't capture the same passion.
No.
You know, I'm sorry you got to stump your toe, but glad it's not mine. See, because your body didn't want a stump toe. Your body didn't want your toe just banged on leg, knee. What, you didn't want that. And you look at somebody and say, ooh, bet that hurt. Thank you, Jesus. What's up? So God is in Jesus Christ. You in Christ find purpose. If Jesus Christ's purpose for coming to earth and dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and establishing the church, if that fails, you can give it up. Because everything God wants to accomplish in the world is in him. So if the church fails in America, purpose for American Christian is gone. Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Right.
See, we have all of this, well, you know, we're going for the church without walls. First of all, we speak such stupid rhetoric. Can you imagine IBM saying, I want the corporation without walls? Yeah. AT&T, we leaving the walls. We don't need walls. Okay? We're just all going to stand in the field and do business. No walls. We're giving up boundaries, folks. We're giving up all boundaries. Okay? We're giving up titles, folks. We're worldwide corporation. We don't need titles. We're giving up offices. See? We don't do that. We're just all going to the field, take our little computers. Well, we won't need those because we can't plug them in. See? We have no walls. No electricity. See? So we're just, we won't take our desks because, well, sinking sand. So we won't do that. But we'll just gather all of our employees and we'll just buy a huge plot of land and we'll just all hang out. Because that's the picture we painted of the church. And you wouldn't want a corporation to do it. You want the energy company to stay in those walls. So you can get your energy. See, we speak words with no wisdom. Who is he who has darkened counsel with words without wisdom? We darken counsel. We have darkened the counsel of the church because we don't know the purpose of the church. And if you don't care about the purpose of the church, your purpose as a member of it means nothing. So we can write 10,000 pages about purpose that says nothing. You still go to church every week talking about who am I? Why am I here? I will not preach church without walls. What I preach is that people need to get up and go out and do what they're called to do. Just like those companies need their marketing force. They need their field team. Then let's preach, get the field team out. But we do need the home base. We need home team. Can you imagine you going home at night talking about, God, I'm so cold. I'm trying to do it the way they preached it, but God, I need my walls. You know, you can't have a shelf, a closet without walls. Can't have a cupboard, can't have a stove. Nothing. You don't need a window. Your location is your window. You are a window in the world, and the world is in your window. You see, we have destroyed God's house through stupid rhetoric, words that darken counsel. The Greek word ekklesia means synod, forum, council. That's what it literally meant. Now, why is that a problem? Because the average Christian, they love to feel. They hate to think. See, make me feel. Don't force me to think. See how that goes? You got to know what the church exists for. And until we define that, this mayhem is going to continue. We have to understand what light of the world really means, what salt of the earth really means, what city set on a hill really means. See, we got to know that. And we've got to agree on what that means. And until we know that, you don't even have a purpose. Because the church out of purpose will guarantee that members have nothing to do. So then you come up being busy work. You're like the wealthy wife whose husband won't let her participate in the business. Just baby, keep busy. We'll just keep doing charity. Well, what is charity? Whatever you do, honey, just stay out of my hair. Stay out of my life. You're not smart enough. You're not bright enough. You're not aggressive enough. You're not diligent enough. See, that's what the church. The church today is the wealthy wife of God, frittering away his time, his resources, and his money, costing his kingdom every day billions of dollars and billions upon billions upon billions of lives. Because we're the wealthy wife. You see? See how sad that is? Isn't that tragic? But that's what we look like in heaven. That's what the angels deal with. Your wife cutting up again. Jesus is like, I know, I'm trying to get it right. Wife laying home, overeating, caught up in surfeiting, overspending, going from place to place just gossiping, dressing herself in all of the fine apparel, looking good, hollow as the day is long. That's us. And until we get the church back on track with purpose, we won't have it. Every individual church needs to do that. See, because you can't do it globally over the radio.
That's right.
Every individual church has got to come back in line with the divine purpose of the body of Christ, which is his wife. Verse 10, I'll wrap it up on this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the what? Of his own will. Didn't say prophecy. You're not going to find purpose in prophecy. You're going to hear an announcement. Go to the street called Straight. Catch Simon the Tanner. Go see Cornelius, who's praying. See? And when you get to Cornelius, then counsel comes. See? You get to Simon, counsel comes. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Go to Macedonia. When you get there, counsel comes. An announcement as far as advanced information is only that. The weather will be bad tomorrow. The wisdom of how to handle tomorrow's weather you'll get when you get there. See how that works? I'm not against it. The Bible said we're supposed to be able to tell you your work and the reason you were made. That's what Scripture tells us. But the average thing we do is just predict. We don't come up with counsel. We don't come up with wisdom. It's just all about prediction. You can't direct people's lives. You can't order their steps in the Lord. You can't send them to the right place, the right school. You can't tell them you're called to be this. You don't stop at the PSA, okay? Prophetic search announcement. You don't stop at that. You move from announcement to insight.
Yes.
Insight to counsel. Counsel to instruction. Instruction to guidance. All the way up until you go from discovery to destiny. Purpose discovered. To purpose achieved. We want to keep people caught up in the search. Just keep a looking. Just keep a looking. Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you don't want to go to your doctor, if you don't want to be told what to do, don't go to a doctor. Because the doctor's going to tell you what to do. You don't want to be told what to do, don't go to work. Because going to work is going to tell you what to do. All right? You don't want to be told what to do, then don't live on the planet. Because everything in the planet is telling you what to do. You go to a restaurant, you pay, and they're going to tell you what to do, and you pay. You're going to sit in this chair. I don't want to sit there. That's all we got. You're going to eat off of this menu. I don't want that. I don't like that, but that's all we have. So what do you want, the special, the blue plate, or the red plate? Because you're going to get the same thing on a different color plate. Like you don't know the difference. Are you all hearing me?
Yes.
Let's wrap this up. Your purpose speaks from the time you're able to talk. The signatures of your purpose show up in your behavior and your conduct. The passion of your purpose shows up constantly in your attitudes and your interests. You will always thread everything about your life, everything you do, into your purpose. You will morph everything generic into your purpose. It will always morph into your purpose. You'll always sing. The singer will always sing. I don't care if they're shoveling dirt, if they're building a building, the singer will always sing. Now, whether they fulfill it or not, who's to say? You also need to know that purpose is primary, secondary, and tertiary. You don't just have a single purpose. You have a dominant purpose, and then you have supporting outlets. So you'll have hobbies that fulfill your secondary or tertiary purpose because your dominant one, the one for your economy, your dominant purpose is always the one for your life's economy. That's why he said in the dispensation, in the economies, in the fiscal construction of your life, your dominant purpose is what God gave you to economize you. Your economy. You know, economy in the very beginning of time was not money. It was natural talent. It was what people could and could not do. That was economy. And today, the economy is still based on that. America's wealth is not the dollars. Obviously, look at our national debt. America's wealth is the economy, the potential of its people, the new ideas that are being born, the future generation. They're banking on the future generation. Interesting, isn't it? Because the true wealth is people. God's wealth is people. God's entire economic system is based on human abilities, totally. You don't get paid for what you do. You get paid for what you know how to do. That's why so many people can keep a job and only do it 3 times a month. Is it true? You get paid for what's in you. That's why they will pay somebody who went to college to sit at a desk and read a paper all day 10 times more than you who are out there sweating. And how many times you said, I work harder than her? Yeah, but you're not smarter. And see, they're not paying for harder workers. They're paying for smarter workers. See how that goes? See, that's how that works. They don't pay big money for hard workers. They pay big money for smart workers. I want you to get clear on that. I hope that helps you, because you have to recognize that the smarter you are, the more money you make. Because people pay for brain. Wisdom brings wealth. Read Proverbs 8. Wisdom is what brings cash. Jesus is God's wisdom. The more Jesus you have, the more money you're going to make. The words in here keep going around. Counsel, wisdom, prudence. You see how it keeps working? As you go forward this week, you can stay caught up in what someone else says you are, or you can find out why you are who you are. You are particularly constructed to accomplish a distinct thing. Your job pays you at the end of the week because of what you know how to produce, what it sees you have produced for it. Your purpose is never for you. Your purpose is never for you. Your purpose is for those that you are on the planet to affect. So if you don't affect people, your purpose is useless. If you don't change lives, your purpose is useless. Your purpose for fatherhood is to create, to bring into existence human beings that are intended to affect the world. Your purpose for motherhood is to produce, to bear children who are intended to affect the world. You're not just a supply line of humanity. You are supposed to alter lives. That's the purpose of being on the planet. And if lives are not better for having been in your experience and in your sphere, then you have failed in purpose. If the church thinks that it's doing me doing my ministry is my purpose, you better think again. No, my ministry is my medium for achieving the reason I'm on the planet, which is to change lives. If your ministry is the end of it all, you have no purpose. The church failed because it made ministry the end of it all, and it didn't make the purpose for ministry, which has its own industry distinct criteria. It didn't make its purpose for ministry the priority, and that is change lives. Paul the apostle knew that. You are our epistle written in your hearts. We thought, well, that means that we have people praying and we have people singing and we have people fellowshipping. No. That's not what changed the world. What changed the world was when God put that power of Jesus Christ in human vessels. And new ideas and new innovations and creativity and all of those things, inventions, became what we have today. This world we have today came from the man who is the light of the world. He didn't say Calvary was the end. He didn't say getting back home to my Father was the end. In Jesus' mind, the end is all of us totally depositing in this world the reason he said, let us make man. When we are all showing forth in mass the reason God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, then Jesus Christ has fulfilled purpose.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.